the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Welcome to the Soccer Show, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You are watching us on Sportsnet World, or as some of us like to call it, Sportsnet Mundial. A little flavor, like Bob Iarushi. I am the furthest thing from Nigel Reed you will see. My name is Sid Sixero, but Nigel will be back very shortly, back in two shakes of a lamb's tail.
Well, he's gone to England for his daughter's wedding, Sid.
It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So we wish him all the best. Bob Iarushi, 26 caps for this country, Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer. Bob, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Sid.
Canada Soccer on the brain this week. We have the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame dinner coming up tomorrow night,
Saturday night at the Royal York.
Mm-hmm. And then the big game, the centennial match between Canada's men's team and the States, BMO Field, 7 o'clock. You can catch it on Sportsnet. It's going across every region. It's an interesting thing, isn't it, Bob? I mean, you have a friendly, quote-unquote, but this is a bar that Canadian soccer on the men's side wants to be at. They want to be in that final CONCACAF group stage with the States. This is the team you need to be competing with if you realistically want to have a shot at Brazil 2014. So in your eyes, Sunday night, how big a game for Canada is that?
I think it's a very, very big game. You make a great point, Sid, because the U.S. is our measuring stick. And when I played a whole bunch of years back, we used to beat them quite regularly. So it hurts me to have watched the U.S. progress the way they have. And you've got to give them credit because they've come a long way. And they had a couple of good results. They beat Scotland, for instance, last week 5-1. I know they lost to Brazil the other day 4-1.
Yeah, they lost to Brazil in front of nearly 70,000 people mm-hmm. in Landover, Maryland.
Yeah.
So the appetite clearly for American soccer is pretty good. And you would have to think the States, after losing to Neymar in Brazil the way they did,
right,
are going to come in pretty hungry as well, because Jurgen Klinsmann, manager of the States, did not seem very happy at all. So I think this will be a friendly, Bob, in name only. I think Canada needs to put in a performance. The States are ticked off. They're going to come in angry. And Sunday night on Sportsnet, 7 o'clock, that's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, it's not a friendly at all.
Nope.
And not when these two teams play. And if you're wearing red, even more reason not to take this game in any type of a friendly light or perspective, because you are also demonstrating to Stephen Hart that you belong on this team in the starting 11. You're right. In the end, they've got to get through the next round with Panama, of course, and Honduras and Cuba. But eventually you're going to meet these boys down the road,
yep,
and you're going to have to beat them. They're not that far away. They really aren't. It's, a lot of it is believing in, and getting the right combinations on the field. And, once you start to believe that you can perform, you can, and you believe in your teammates, then those victories are there.
We're going to talk to Andre Aineau, defender for our Canadian national team. He's got 24 caps. He had a big weekend for the Houston Dynamo. He had a game winner against David Beckham in the Galaxy. We're going to speak to Andre Aineau momentarily. And a young man from the Score Television Network who I've never spoken to before, James Sharman, will be on the show today. So it's very exciting.
Yes.
Longtime admirer. Going to talk to him today.
Yeah,
very excited about that.
Yeah, and it's always great to have James on. He's a breath of fresh air, and he knows his stuff. And I really like the way he delivers on the Score. Plus him and my old pal Brian Budd, they were a good combination.
Yeah, they got a good crew over there.
They got really
a very, very good crew over there. We're hoping for a good crew Sunday night at BMO. This is a sexy matchup, and for the reasons, Bob, that we've outlined, a very important night for Canada, despite the fact it is a quote-unquote friendly. What kind of crowd do you think will be there Sunday night? Because typically these, it's not a holiday weekend here. Normally this would be maybe an afternoon game on a weekend. What kind of crowd are we expecting?
Well, I would think that it should be full. I mean, it should be full.
It has to be
full. If there are all these so-called soccer fans in this great city out there, then they should be at this game on Sunday. The only disappointing thing is that I just don't hear a lot about this game. I don't read a lot about it. I don't know if there's advertising. Have you seen any advertisements at all on the game? Or?
Not a ton, no.
Well,
You're right. It's just kind of it's a word of mouth thing. It's almost like TFC Galaxy at Rogers Center. It was a word of mouth event.
And I don't know who's responsible. Should it be the CSA and their marketing crew, you know, stimulating the airwaves and getting people to talk about it, or should the media, you know, be responsible enough to understand that this is an important moment on the eve of the next round? And they really should let people know about it, because I tell you, I mean, you and I know about it because we love the game, and we're going to be there on Sunday. But there's a whole bunch of people that I would think, or I would guess, that still don't know that there's a game on Sunday between the U.S. and Canada.
You know what? I agree, and I'll tell you what. Canada, the moment they get back to the stage that everyone in this country wants them to get back to, which is the World Cup, I got to tell you, that mentality... there's a game this weekend? Oh, I didn't know. That will go right out the window. Because Canada, if they get back on the biggest stage in arguably world sport, with all due respect to the Olympics, all due respect to everything else, this is the biggest single event on earth. If Canada get there, whenever they step back onto a field in this country, it will be a headline maker. People will be interested, and the ratings, Bob, also will reflect that. Although I think Sunday night...
Yeah.
Considering we're now entering a soft part of the sporting schedule, I think numbers Sunday night on Sportsnet for this Canada-U.S. Centennial game is going to be pretty good.
I would agree. You're talking about the television numbers.
The television numbers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was referring directly to the number of bums in seats at BMO on Sunday. So I still expect it to be, you know, reasonably full. I hope that it's completely full, and I hope that everybody's wearing red. As I've always, I'm the number one cheerleader for our guys, and they need our support. Yeah, with regards to the statement you made about, you know, Canada and gaining respectability and credibility among sport fans and soccer fans, you're right. I mean, if you know, when that moment comes that these guys get over the hump and they qualify safe for Brazil in 2014, it would be a momentous moment for soccer, Canada, and sport.
Bob, that's important because this isn't just a World Cup we'd be talking about here. This would be a World Cup that would be in prime time in this time zone. This would be one of the most watched sporting spectacles outside of a Vancouver Olympic, let's say, that this country's ever seen. So the importance of this for this Canadian national team, I mean, every World Cup qualifying is vital, but the exposure that this is going to get TV-wise in this country is staggering. It is going to bring in numbers that haven't been seen before because they're going to be in the middle of the summer when nothing's going on, and it's going to be prime time. It's going to be phenomenal. From an exposure standpoint, to qualify for Brazil 2014 would mean a lot for a lot of countries. For Canadian soccer, wow. That would really do something to see this national team at 9 o'clock on a major network in this country taking on England or Argentina or South Korea. Just picture it. It would be unreal.
Well, it would be unreal, and this sparks another debate or another rifle full of questions with regards to how do you get the guys to the World Cup. And I understand, you know, the talent on the field is the primary, you know, prerequisite. But, you know, is it about time, you know, we start, loading our guns with some dollars? Is the CSA able to get some big sponsors? Is it time to believe in the sport again? Is it time to maybe look at a world-class coach? Someone who will bring credibility? Somebody who's able to have Canada play against, you know, the likes of Germany, France, and the A teams around the world, like the U.S. has done right now. Of course, they've earned that right based on their results and the number of times they've qualified, Sid. But for Canada, you know, it's not only the players that get victories. It's the organization. As I said, it's the credibility. It's how people perceive you. And that all kind of becomes the rungs on the ladder that allow the team finally to get to the final, you know, the final step.
The catalyst. Is there a catalyst out there? And Bob, it's interesting because Basketball Canada recently had the dream scenario come through their doors in Steve Nash.
Right.
And Steve Nash is now part of that deal. He has a fluid role, but at the end of the day, he's a closer, both on the business side and with a lot of young players. who out there with a profile nearing the end of a career, maybe going into a next phase of a soccer career, who out there could be that for Soccer Canada? And I think there's one name out there people haven't thought about. Someone nearing the end, they have had a nightmare with injuries, they still maybe are holding on to a career that will end soon, and might one day be a very big asset for this country. And I'm thinking maybe Owen Hargreaves is that guy.
I didn't know he was Canadian. Well, is he Canadian, this guy?
He's not Canadian.
He left Canada. He left Calgary.
He was in our system.
I understand that, Sid.
Let's remember how it happened here. And I'm just saying,
if Canadian
soccer's looking for a catalyst,
right.
This guy has been on the field in a Champions League final. He was England's best player in a World Cup. I think there's certain guys out there, if you skew it properly and you're looking for that catalyst,
yes,
he could be a catalyst.
Well, okay. I mean, it's not my place to knock that recommendation, but we do need a face for the game because we don't communicate very well. We don't communicate with the big players in the media. We need a go-to Pied Piper is what we need.
Yeah.
We need someone who will, talk about the game, bring attention to the game and grow the game. Culturally as well as just within the fabric of the development of players,
because
there's a whole culture to,
and it's not easy
to build. It's not easy
because you can't expect Steven Hart to do both. Steven Hart right now is worrying about winning. He's worrying about getting points. He's worrying about going to Honduras and Cuba and Panama. That's his job.
Yeah,
you can't have him worrying about marketing and all the other things that you're bringing up that are vital to the CSA. I think you just need another strong hand there, and one side has to help you.
But Sid, I mean, a moment like I've got to say this. On Saturday, we're going to honor, four new inductees into the Hall of Fame: Carlos Corazine, Mark Watson, Charmaine Hooper, and Andrea Neal. And we can talk. I can talk for the whole show about these four individuals. But a lot of our soccer fans don't know who these individuals are,
and
let alone someone like myself who played the game, back when Rocky and Bullwinkle were on TV, right? But you have to bring this out to people. People have to be part of the Hall of Fame and the induction ceremonies. And we need to talk about players who were here before in order for us to build players for tomorrow. That has to be all part of it. And I know I'm really I'm grasping for reasons to believe here, but we're at the Royal York, which is for the first time. We're in a fantastic venue. We're going to have close to 400 people, which will be a record for attendance for one of these Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, and it's only going to get bigger. And honestly, you've got to bring people who know the game closer to these moments and these events, because the game really needs leaders, and they need players, I believe, who have played the game to go out and showcase the game properly to a whole mess of people who participate. I mean, shall we go into those numbers again and talk about the staggering amount of players and fans and coaches and that are out there on behalf of the game of soccer, and yet we've got to have everybody singing on the same song page. Right?
Well, but respecting the past is vital.
It is.
It's important. We need it to help grow the game, and you guys are going to do a phenomenal job of that on Saturday night. So bravo, and all the best on Saturday. Have a great time. Time for a break here on The Soccer Show. When we return, Andre Aynaud of the Houston Dynamo and Canadian International. You're watching on Sportsnet World, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. What a save!
It is The Soccer Show. You're watching on Sportsnet World. Hope you're having a good day / evening. Listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Sid Sixera alongside Bob Iarushi. Coming up, James Sharman from the Score Television Network. We'll talk about why Liverpool might be the worst club in Europe at this point. Well, that's going to hurt if he hears that.
Oh, my goodness.
I should save my bullets for him. In the meantime, it is a massive, massive summer for this country's national men's program. Three big games this month, two qualifiers, one away from home, one at home against Honduras, plus a very intriguing friendly. And all the guys have worked their way back into TO or are making their way into TO for the game Sunday night at BMO Field against the U.S. Joining us now, Andre Annot from the Houston Dynamo, 24 caps for Canada's men's team. Andre, welcome to the Soccer Show. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Andre, first and foremost, not a bad winner over the weekend, man. Nice to beat David Beckham and the Galaxy once in a while.
Yeah, it felt good. It won't bring back MLS Cup from last year, but we'll take 3 points and yeah.
Was he crying about the referees again after the game? By the way.
Yeah, he was complaining a bit. The ref wasn't great, but I think he was harder on us. They should have had a guy sent off, took down our guy in a breakaway. But he complains a little bit, but I'll say he's a pretty good player. He serves in a pretty good ball, and I'll give him credit.
Yeah, Andre, you know these prima donnas from Europe. You know, he's a dime a dozen. Andre Annot of the Houston Dynamo here on the Soccer Show. Andre's getting ready to suit up for Canada for the centennial match against the United States Sunday night at BMO. The term friendly is there, Andre, but you get the sense, and Bob and I were discussing it earlier, considering what the USA just went through the other night with Brazil, and considering that this is a bar in terms of the next stage of World Cup qualifying that Canada wants to be around, how big really is this game?
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going to be a friendly when we play against the U.S. There's a big rivalry there. We always have a lot to prove because they're the top in CONCACAF. But I think Steven said it well this week. What this game is for us to prepare for Cuba for the game after that, you know, which is the one that really counts, the World Cup qualifiers. I'd be lying if I said, we're just using it to prepare. It's going to be a big game. It'll be a special one for our centenary. We'll be wearing pretty cool jerseys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, those jerseys are hot, man. Maple leaf, I'm going to pick them up.
That vintage look always looks good, so it'll be a special night, and we'll definitely be up for that one, looking to play well and looking to win.
Andre, you must have conversation with the rest of the Canadian guys who play in the MLS. They're surrounded by Americans. Have you guys been taking a lot of stick from some of your American counterparts about this game? And have they been maybe, making you feel a little uncomfortable about this game?
Yeah, that's normal with the Americans I play with. They're always giving me a hard time for everything about Canada. There's a guy from my team with the U.S. team, and that's just constant. There's a lot of banter in the dressing room. But, yeah, they love to give us a hard time over some of the results that we don't get. We're kind of underachievers, I find, with the national team. We've got such a great group of guys, successful all over with their clubs, and it seems like when we come together, the results don't match with the quality of players we have. So yeah, we do get a hard time, but we'll look to prove them wrong on Sunday.
Canadian international Andre Annot here on the Soccer Show. Bob Irushi, Sid Sixero here with you. Andre, you said something interesting there in terms of the results not matching the talent. I guess the million-dollar question is, and especially considering how big this summer is, how do you start to even the two out? What's the one thing missing on the field when you guys get out there that you think you really need?
The one thing, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint. I know Steven has the answer. I know the quality's there. I know everything's there. It's just a matter of it coming together, that belief, and I feel like once we get that snowball, the snowball effect, once we get rolling, I think really we could surprise teams and I think it's just a matter of getting going and this confidence, and everything builds from there. So I know we can do it. I know we just need to. It's that little thing that needs to start it for us.
And we spoke a little about this, and I do believe, and I think you're right. I think that, the U.S. play so many more games than Canada does, and it gives them a chance to mix and match, and they seem to have a bigger pool, of course, than we do. But if you look at every player individually, Andre, and I'm going to steal, what you were saying in terms of, that if those right combinations are on and you get the performances that these players are capable of, there's no reason why you can't get a great result against the U.S., let alone a draw. I think you can beat them.
No, absolutely. And I think we've proved that sort of on occasions throughout the year with some of the results or performances put in against certain teams. So it's obvious that the quality is there. It's just doing consistently. It's being the favorites playing against most teams in CONCACAF. You know, and obviously it's there. You can look at some of the results over the past years. You know, it's all there. It's just a matter of putting it together. And I know once we get that going, it can really snowball, and we can really we can get on a good roll.
Canadian international defender Andre Annot here on the Soccer Show, getting ready for Sunday's centennial match with the United States at BMO Field. You can see that across all four networks, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet. It's going to be a fun evening. But that's, Andre, one of three pretty important games for you guys. You're in Cuba not long after that, then home to Honduras. So between the trip to Cuba, Honduras, the States, what's Canada's most important game this month, do you think?
Yeah, well, it'll be every game's important. You know, I'm going to say Sunday's important, but obviously the World Cup qualifiers are the ones that...
Is it the trip to Cuba? Because if you guys can set the pace and grab points away from home, Andre, you get the feeling it might be a nice foundation for you guys going forward.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you want to call one out, I'm going to say I'll say Cuba, because it's the first World Cup qualifier, and we get a good result there, and all of a sudden, a little belief, and we come back home to play against Honduras. You know, a good crowd behind us. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, you're two games into the group, and you've got 6 points, and all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you know, a lot of belief, and like I said, we can roll with that. But I mean, it's tough to say which one game is the most important, but the World Cup qualifiers are the ones that. That we're working towards.
But you know, Andre, it's interesting though. I do agree with you, because if you go to Cuba on the 8th and you get a result, a draw, great, a win even better, on that Tuesday night back home to Honduras, if there's points in the bag, I mean, that sense of belief that you're talking about, I think will spread directly into the stands. And I think that atmosphere, if you guys get a point in Cuba, that atmosphere on the 12th of June against Honduras is going to be red hot at BMO.
No, absolutely. And it'll be that way, you know. We get things rolling, and all of a sudden, a couple months from now, when we have to play against Panama at home or Cuba at home or wherever, you know, BMO will become a bit of a fortress. You know, I know Canadian fans will rally behind us when they start seeing us, working hard, doing well, getting good results on the road. But they'll come out and support us when they can at home. So, I mean, that's an easy one.
Andre, you've scored quite a few goals with Houston, and Sid was talking about the winner the other night. Have you been practicing set plays? I would imagine you'd be a key contributor on those set plays.
Well, the Houston Dynamo, we're a little bit known for our set pieces. We definitely work on them, but we've got great delivery there, and we've got some good delivery with the national team. So. Don't really care who scores, but if I can set a pick for someone, make a good run, create some space, so yeah, put the ball in the back of the net, it can help the team. A lot of times games are decided on set pieces, so definitely try to work on that, and yeah, it feels great to score too.
Hey, Canadian international Andre Annot here on the Soccer Show. Andre, considering the form you're currently on, how does that change your mentality when you join the camp and when you get in with the Canadian guys? How is your mentality different when you've been playing such solid soccer most of the season?
I mean, of course it's nice to come into camp if you've come off a win or something like that with your club, or if you're feeling good. It's always nice to take that confidence into a camp. But it's a different team. It's a different feel. But it's a nice change of scenery. It's tough to say, I do this or I do that, but. Yeah, if you're feeling good and you come into camp and you're feeling good, that rubs off on everyone, and you take that. But like I said, it's a totally different atmosphere and feel once you come with the national team. I think sometimes the level's higher. Obviously, you're playing with some of the guys being successful all over Europe and some top players. So it's a different level, but. You're always trying to do the same things day in and day out, which is, working hard, trying to help the team.
You know, club football and international football are two different scenarios, really, Andre. And I'm very curious, within your group, Have there been some guys that have come out and kind of taken the, a bit of the leadership role on? Are you able to, you know, to give us some names? I mean, I would think someone like Dwayne might be someone who would naturally gravitate to a leadership role. Are there others that that might have taken that role?
Well, I think you guys can figure out which guys those are too. You know, Kevin McKenna, Danny Rosario, obviously Julian de Guzman. You know, the veteran guys that have been around that have the experience. They're the guys that are going to sort of have the bigger voice or more influence in the locker room. So, which is natural.
On the line with Andre Anno, Canadian international defender, getting ready for a friendly. Boy, Andre, I hate that term, friendly, with the United States Sunday at BMO. Andre, we gotta get this changed. Let's start it right now. We'll go to FIFA. No longer call this a friendly. I don't know, maybe steal something from cricket, a test match. I don't know what we could call it, but friendly just had it. It's so 1925. You know, we gotta lose this phrase.
No, it's a grudge match.
It's a little deceiving, especially Canada, U.S. Those are never friendly. So
yeah, Andre, it's about time we beat these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always nice beating the Americans. So why not Sunday?
Exactly.
Well, Andre, it's been a pleasure. We love that you jumped on with us. We wish you and the boys all the best, and go give them hell for us on Sunday. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll do.
There is Andre Anno, Houston Dynamo defender. He scored a winner against David Beckham in the Galaxy over the weekend in MLS play. And he is ready to take the field. And you get the feeling, the more quotes you read, Bobby, the more you talk to some of the guys like this, there's a bit of a different feel right now. And they know they're close to something that the men's program haven't been close to in a long time.
Well, I want to hear these quotes. I want to hear this attitude. I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's about time we challenge these guys. And even Steven Hart, I mean, you know, get off the fence. These guys need leadership as well in the dressing room. And, you know, they're on the eve of this important series of games that's going to push them to the next round. And they ain't gonna make it by being, you know, conservative and saying the right things and using the same cliches and idioms. Let's make a statement. Let's
a statement. You know what? And to borrow an NBA term, Greg Popovich of the Spurs had one of the great quotes of 2012. I want a little nasty.
Right.
Tired of being the nice guys on the field. I want a little nasty. Let's get in people's faces. Whatever. We end with 10 men on the field. So be it. Let them know you played Canada. Let them know that you took on the Maple Leaf and leave a mark either on the scoreboard or somewhere else.
Let's play at home.
By the way, Euro 2012 is right around the corner.
Yeah,
ho hum.
Very
what
exciting.
A tournament.
Yeah.
James Sharman, the score, joining us very soon after the break here on the Soccer Show, watching on Sportsnet World, listening on Sportsnet 590.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back to the Soccer Show. Sitting in for Nigel Reed, I am Sid Sixero, alongside Bob Iarushi. Having a good time. We've laid the groundwork for what should be a very important month for Canada's men's national program. There's also this Euro 2012 thing going on. Small tournament being held in Poland and Ukraine. And here to help us discuss it is one of the real terrible guys in our business. Just a horrible human being. James Sharman of the Score Television Network. How you doing, Sharman?
Oh, after that wonderful introduction, I'm doing great. Thanks, Cedric. How you doing, pal?
I'm good. Listen, we're going to get to England. We're going to get to Lampard. We may even get to Hulk to Chelsea, which apparently has just dropped. First question, what do you miss most about me?
You? I think it's probably your eating habits. You know, seeing what you bring in, those, you know, the tofu, you know, whole grain, you know, sandwiches at lunchtime, and just your general outlook on how to live a healthy and you know, well-being life.
You would be shocked to find out some things have not changed, Sharma.
I'm not surprised, actually, not.
And the calf here is killer. It is just killer. Where do you want to begin? I guess the Frank Lampard news, he's out of England squad for Euro 2012. That's the big news of today. How big a hit for the three lines is this?
Well, you know, in this kind of tournament, Sid and Bobby, you know, it's all about depth of your squad. You need depth. And England has not got much depth. So from that standpoint, it's a big loss. Of course it is. This guy's got lots of experience. And the last 2 months of the season at Chelsea, he played very well, but For me, this tournament is really a stepping stone for the future. Get some younger players, some big experience. And I thought that perhaps Frank Lampard shouldn't have been in that squad to begin with in that regard. But, you know, there isn't much there. When Jordan Henderson is a player replacing him, that speaks for itself. Henderson, a young player with potential, but coming off a dreadful campaign at Liverpool. So, you know what, depth-wise, yes, it's an issue. But overall, this team's not going to do very well in this tournament. It's an average team at best. If it's lucky, it'll make the quarterfinals, and that's about it. So, you know what, Frank, you know what, it's a sad way to go out. He's 33 years of age. He's been a great servant for his country, but let's face it, he is past his best. And had he been in the starting 11 for most games, I think it would have been out of you know, a political move as opposed to actual meritocracy.
You know, James, Hodgson's taken a lot of stick from the English press, claiming that he's not the right match, and there were better choices. But you know, it's if you look back in the history of teams that do well with not so much the great tactical or motivational giants behind the bench, but rather the guys that are father figures, calming effects. I'm thinking of Enzo Berzot with Italy, and some of the and perhaps Roy Hodgson. With an England squad that, you know, on paper doesn't look like, as you said, has the depth to do it, maybe he is the right guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is too. I mean, they said they were going to go English after Capello, yep. And that was, you know, wasn't to be debated. So what are your options? Well, Hodgson or Redknapp. Redknapp right. Being the great man motivator, but perhaps someone not with the technical and tactical acumen of a Hodgson. And, you know, this team, as I mentioned, is an average team. So you need a coach who's going to perhaps endorse some relatively ugly football, at least some very pragmatic, conservative football. And for that case, he could well be the guy to get these guys on the page for 2 or 3 weeks playing a simple brand of football. Maybe it's long ball. You know, maybe it's direct football. Maybe it's Andy Carroll up front, and they just stick it wide and try and fire it in from the wings. And that might be what this team should be playing right now. Long term, you know, England need to adapt to what is, you know, more of an international standard of football and you know, certainly from a technical standpoint. But right now, I'm with you. I think he's the right man for the right job. And he's, you know, people, you know, he's so maligned for being this grey, kind of boring individual who doesn't like to play too much of transfer football. He's coached around the world. There are very few as well-traveled coaches as Roy Hodgson, from Inter Milan to Sweden to various national teams. So he's put his time in, and I think he's definitely the right choice for this team.
James Sharman of the Score Television Network here on The Soccer Show. Sharman, the way you're teeing up this England team, and it's accurate, I agree with you 100%. I'm curious, when was the last time we went into a major international tournament and expectations for an English team were this low? Was it Italia 90?
Possibly, yeah. But I mean, that wasn't a bad team either. You know,
But they proved to be a great team. But I mean, you know better than me. From what I remember and what I've read, the lead up to Italia 90 was not good, and expectations were not great.
But it had that X factor, right? It had a Paul Gascoigne, a young player with you know, dynamic skills that this team right now hasn't got. So it could be that far back, perhaps ever. Perhaps, you know, certainly in the modern era, I can't remember a team with lower expectations. And I think that's because this team has burned so many bridges with the fans over the years on and off the field. Not just with the performances at these big tournaments, but also just the behavior of some of the big-name players, from the Ashley Coles to, of course, the John Terrys to the Wayne Rooneys. I think the fans are finally getting sick of these individuals and saying, you know what, we'll support you when you show us something on the field. But we know at this point that you're not a very good team. We've seen Spain dominate playing wonderful football. We've seen this German team who just over 10 years ago, England beat 5-1 in Germany. And in 10 years, Germany's metamorphosized into this wonderful, young, dynamic, potential powerhouse team. And where are we? Well, we're back to square one once again. So I think it's born out of frustration. And the fact that, you know, we're realizing that the Premier League's a wonderful, entertaining league, but Barcelona and Real Madrid are the best teams in the world.
Moving off England for a sec, James, and I think everybody thinks Germany is the juggernaut, you know, ready to happen in this tournament.
Oh yeah.
Is there another team that might surprise? And where
obviously Spain and Germany are the big favourites. From a team that might surprise, I could play Bobby. You'll enjoy this. I think Italy have an opportunity here, along with France.
I was moving you there, James.
I thought you might be. Very subtly. I know you too well, mate.
Yeah.
Very subtly. I think Italy and France are two teams that are coming off, obviously, a pretty poor, 3 or 4 years compared to their, previous form. And these are teams that are really on the cusp of something pretty great. I mean, Italy, forget for a minute here all the, the conjecture and the controversy over what's happening in the Serie A at the moment. This is a good, as always, very strong defensive Italian team. But they've got a new coach in Prandelli who's encouraging the players to play possession football, to attack, and they've got some great, creative players there. Pirlo's coming off maybe his best career year. Not bad for a guy in his 30s. Cassano, if he's healthy, he's suddenly be fresh. And you have maybe finally an X factor, and that's Mario Balotelli. If all the pieces fit in the puzzle, this team could be, I don't want to call them a dark horse, really, because it's Italy, after all. You can't really call it a dark horse, per se, but they're a very strong team, and they could go for a very long run. You may have, for example, England in the quarterfinals, and that's an easy quarterfinal, right?
Well, and you know what Italy has that's common with their successes in the past? They have a strong Juventus, and Juventus has always been a team that has developed Italian talent and run with Italian players throughout their league championship. They have a chance of fielding up to 6 Juventus players on this national team.
But it's one of the odd, I don't want to say odd, because you've explained it perfectly. They look local, Juventus. They always have, and they develop. And the backbone of this team with Pirlo and Chiellini and Buffon, it looks to be Italian.
And it's refreshing.
The backbone of 06, Italian, 82.
Yeah, 82,
basically
sure.
Italian. That team,
and Juventus.
Juventus 3 years later won a European Cup.
Right.
I mean, it's one of the real fascinating parts of Italian football. So goes Juventus, so goes the national team.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's the case. And in other nations too, look at, for example, Spain, when it's got the backbone of a Barcelona or Real Madrid, it's much stronger. The players know each other. But certainly that Italian team with defensively, which is, let's face it, is Italy. Yeah, they're scoring more goals than in the past, but their tournaments make or break from the back. And they're back 3 or back 4 possibly, even back 5 including before. And it's going to be, predominantly Juventus for this tournament, and I think that bodes really well for this team, and that's why I think they really could be a team that can sneak in, and before you know it, might find themselves in a final.
And that first game with Spain will be very interesting on the 10th of June, James, because Spain is a team that with Villa, I don't know if he's going to be healthy.
Villa's not. David Villa's out of the tournament.
I mean, they even brought Torres back.
Torres looks okay, man.
This is a team that plays without a center forward. The only difference is, when you see this kind of Spanish flourish team with Lionel Messi, it's one thing with Barcelona, but they don't have a Lionel Messi on Spain.
Yeah, that's true. But in the World Cup in 10 and the European Championship 08, there wasn't a Messi there either, but they had a Villa, and he obviously scored a lot of goals. Yeah. But don't forget, in the last tournament in the World Cup, they scored a lot of 1-0 victories to win that thing. They were not the swashbuckling, attacking, expansive Spain that we saw perhaps in Euro. They're a full-rounded, balanced team. And I don't know about you guys, but I've got this sneaky suspicion that Fernando Torres might be a star at this tournament. I mean, he's going to be fresh, if nothing else.
Yeah,
and certainly very hungry and with much to prove as well. He played yesterday. He scored a goal. I've got a suspicion he might get the nod over Llorente up front.
Charmin, I think you're bang on. I think Torres on the final 2 months alone. You know what? It's funny. That one goal, second leg, Camp Nou, may have just changed everything for Fernando Torres. And Spain might be all the better for. My only concern with Spain, guys, and I'm curious your take, I don't think it's a coincidence that Barca didn't win the important competitions this year and David Villa was injured. I think David Villa has been the glue for Barca and Spain for a long, long time, and that guy has not gotten his due. As an all-around forward, he's not playing in this tournament. Couple that with Carlos Puyol. Charmin, what do you think? Listen, at some point, a lot of miles go on the odometer here, and Spain are going to have to slow down. Is this the tournament Spain slows down?
I've spoken to a lot of people the last couple of weeks about Spain. Some of the most well-renowned journalists around the world, and they're all saying the same thing. Yep, Barca and Real in the Champions League look tired and fatigued, and that's not going to bode well for Spain. But I still think they've got one more kick at the can. I think this team is still very much, in its prime. Puyol was going to bring there towards the end of his career, and he's not going to be there. If Pique can find his form, he'll be beside Ramos, who's you know, one of the best centre-halves in the world. Doesn't play that often, mind you, these days, but obviously very, very important player. I think they've got another kick at the can, and you're right. You're missing David Veer, the all-time leading scorer. He's wonderful, right? And you're right, he's unselfish. He does the little things up front that, you know, perhaps a Torres isn't going to do, but I think they'll find ways around it. I think Xavi and Iniesta are going to be the class in midfield for any team in this tournament, and, you know, they have the depth as well. You know, we haven't mentioned the Cesc Fabregas yet. So, yeah, there might be some you know, heavy legs, but that's the same, I think, around Europe, not just between, you know, the top nations. So I think they've got another kick at the can. If they don't, it could be down to Veer. You're right, Sid, in which case it's going to be a huge door opening for Germany.
No team has ever gone back-to-back in this tournament. It's not that difficult to win.
It is.
The field is that deep. And considering how much soccer some of these guys have played, I don't know.
James,
everyone's scared of history. So what? So no one's done it before. Well, it's about time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it won't happen this time either, James. I can tell you that much. Listen, Sid doesn't have the courage to ask you, does Portugal have a chance or not?
Okay, well, I have the courage. I just know the answer to it. I'm not going to ask a question I know the answer to.
I've agonized along with Sid many times watching Portugal play at various championships.
This is true.
And I do worry for Sid. However, I think Portugal, obviously, is a dreadful group to be in, but if they can get out of that group, and bear in mind, Portugal play the Dutch really, really well.
They're not getting out of the group.
No.
Charming, you're a kind man, you are a good friend. They're not getting out of the group.
I'm not picking them to get out of the group, but I'm picking it's going to be the Dutch and Germany out of that group. However, if they can find a way, and it is possible, you never know. This team's playing such better football, more attractive football under Paolo Bento. Ronaldo's smiling. Defensively, I think the 12 goals against is a slight anomaly in qualifying. I think they're better than that. I think this team has the potential, Sid, the potential to go a very long way if they can get out of that all-important Group B.
Sharman, got to apologize. We got to go. Say hi to the guys for me. Take care. Thanks for this.
James.
We'll do, boys.
There is James Sharman of The Score. We've got to wrap it up. Bob Iarussha, it's been a pleasure, sir.
Thanks. A lot of fun, Sid.
All right. For Nigel Reed, who's off this week, is back next week, I am Sid Zaxero. This has been The Soccer Show, watching on Sportsnet World, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.